if you would, we'll be in the cafe, Irma and I. We'd love to shake your hand. It'd be an honor to shake your hand and bless you because you blessed us by coming. You could have picked any church as you drove up here and you chose our church, and we're blessed that you're here. We're Living Faith Church, faith that you can see as we gather, as we grow, and as we're a going church, right, everybody? Let's welcome the Facebook Live audience. Come on, let's welcome them. You have your message notes. You're going to need your message notes. If you don't have them, raise them high or raise your hand, and we'll get an usher to get you one and keep them up a little bit. You can just kind of wave a little bit. You got 100% there, and just so blessed to, again, have the sermon that we're doing, the Marvel Bible Hero Sermon. And we took two ladies from the Hall of Faith, and we wanted to bring them out to you in that sort of sense. And we're doing our second lady today, and we'll end next week with Jonah. And so the scripture on the big screen is Hebrews 12:1, and it's the passage of just the great cloud of witnesses that are surrounding us. It says, "Therefore, since we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin so easily entangles us." He's saying, well, you know, I got that one thing that always messes me up. And heaven's people see sin differently because they made it through. And so they know how tough it is for that one thing that hurts us, that kryptonite thing that messes us up. And they say, you know what? I know life is tough, but you can make it. So it's a series of encouragement to you today that you can make it too because they made it. How many know when you're in high school and another high schooler comes to you and maybe you're already 20 years out of the game and they're at HEB bagging groceries or they're going to high school and you're saying, you can make it because I made it through. You may have made it through with a C-, but you made it through, right, everybody? And so you can tell that young man or that young lady that is younger, just saying, your grandchild, you're going to make it because your grandpa made it today. And so that sin that so easily entangled, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, right? And so we're encountering these superheroes and we marvel at them because they did things on this earth that were ordinary, but they did extraordinary things because they had faith in God. And I believe every believer in this room, you're ordinary, but you should do extraordinary things in life because God's within you, right, everybody? Bouncing back after they told you we're going to be 6 months to recuperating and being here within a month is an extraordinary thing. Amen? And we're blessed to have Donna here, right, everybody? Yeah, amen. You can't keep a good lady down, right, everybody? And so there was another lady, and her name was Rebecca, and she's found in the pages of the Old Testament, and she's going to bring a life lesson today just to encourage you today. Little did Rebecca realize of the Old Testament that her one act would change her world forever, and then it would change the whole world forever and change us forever by doing that act of service today. She turns out to be Abraham's daughter-in-law, and she was, you know, Abraham was the father of many nations, outnumbered the star. Isaac is getting a little bit older now, and he still doesn't have a wife, and so he sets out on this search. And Rebecca would come down from the grandstands of heaven cheering you on. And then she would be able to whisper something in your ear saying, look, these are the secrets of life. This is what I discovered today. And I wanted you to discover 15% of the gospel of what Jesus said in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is what Rebecca would echo from Jesus, and Jesus would echo to her in the New Testament. If I were to preach what the story is of what Christ preached about the parables, one out of five sermons that I would preach would be this sermon again, over and over, and you probably get tired of it. Half of the parables of Jesus were about this, which we're going to talk about today. And so the focus about what we're speaking about is spoken about more than heaven, more than hell, even more than love. Would you believe that today? What the Bible has to say. So how many know the Bible would want us to know this? Yeah? If it spoke a lot about it. And so at the very beginning, right at the big, you know, when we let out the opening gate here, the key thought is today, when people ask you for help, the simple thought is this, give generously. Facebook, they said generously. They're not talking too loud because they're kind of shy. And so they're going to speak up in a moment, right, everybody? So you're going to help me out with that, right? And so that's, and you know, now that I'm in heaven, people in heaven would say, You know what? You need your great-great-grandpa, maybe that's in heaven, an aunt that you never met that served God and she prayed you through. They would say, this is what heaven's all about. When you spend time on earth, on this earth, you can now send it ahead and it can get to heaven today. And it's not just, you're going to talk about money today, no. I'm going to talk about your time, about your treasure, about your talent today, about the hugs that you give to people, about the attention that you give to people, about the time that you invest into people. Rebecca's generosity had an eternal impact today. Her one small act created this wave, just a tidal wave of what would change history. In Abraham's day, the context, if you'd open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 24 and your devices, it's going to be on the big screen in a moment. If you'd open up your Bibles to that, you can see it in your own notes today, or you can look on the big screen with me. In Abraham's culture, it was up to the father and mother to find a bride for their son, or likelihood to also court. In that sense, a bride would, a girl in your home, your daughter, they would get the candidates to come in and so forth. I like parents picking out the bride for their son. How about you? I wish we'd go back to Old Testament style. Probably save us a whole lot of heartache, right? Now that my children are marrying age, I kind of think I'd like that to come back. How about you mom and dads in this room, right? Yeah, amen, amen, bring it. How about grandpas in this room, right? They get by the shotgun and it's okay, right, everybody? And Isaac was protected, probably not with a shotgun, but he was protected by his father. And Abraham's chief servant, Abraham begins to cry out to God. He said, I don't want him to marry a pagan girl. I want him to marry someone within the family of God. And so he sends out his chief butler, his chief servant. He said, I want you to go find that bride for my husband. What a big task, right? If you mess up on this one, this is it. Amen. You're going to be washing dishes the rest of your life. You got to do it right. And so there's a lot of pressure on this servant. And so like it is with all of us, he sends a lot of gifts. 10 camels are loaded up with goods, jewelry, brisket, I believe, you know, some potato salad. I mean, iced tea, and it's all loaded up on this camel. Tons of good things, and you got to find a bride with all this good stuff. And so in Genesis chapter 24 on the big screen or in your hand or right there in your Bible, verse 12, it says this, in the servant of the Lord, there was pressure. So who do you go on? Who do you go to when there's pressure? You go to God. Amen. You don't go to the bank. You don't go get a scratch 7 lotto ticket. You go to the Lord. Amen. And the servant said, Lord, You are the God of my master Abraham. Please show me kindness to my master by helping me find a wife for his son Isaac. Here I'm standing by the well of water, and the young women of this city are coming to get water. And I will say to one of them, please put your jar down so I can have a drink. And let her answer me this way to show whether she's the one to be chosen. So he puts out kind of like this fleece, which I don't recommend you do anymore, because as a believer, you have the Holy Spirit. Lord, if I make this basket, that means the Spurs are going to win the championship again. That's what I, you know. And so you don't want to do that. Amen. Thank God you have the Holy Spirit now. In the Old Testament, amen, the Spirit of God, it wasn't full. And now it is full, that you can take advantage of. And you bear witness, you get convicted and that sort of thing. And so he says this, if she drinks and also gives water to my camels, then I'll know she's the right one. This will be the proof to show kindness to my master. And then the last verse, I believe, it says this, before the servant had finished praying, the young woman, Rebecca, came. Isn't it great to have prayers answered immediately? I love it when my prayer, but sometimes they take a long, long time. How about y'all? Have y'all read my Bible? Have you done life with Nava? Amen. And so she was the daughter of Bethanol, and Rebecca came to the well with her water jar, which was probably 2.5 gallons to 5 gallons on her shoulder, and it's the size of that water right before me, and we'll illustrate that in a moment. When people ask for your help, give it to them generously. This was a huge prayer request. It just wasn't a simple thing, give us traveling mercies because we're going to go, you know, to the mall today. We're going to park our car, and we don't want anybody to dent it, Lord. Keep our new car. It wasn't about that. It was a huge prayer request that, and we make dangerous prayers because we serve a big God. God, if you don't show up, what's going to happen today? And God had to show up. Let me show you. You say, well, it's nice, but here's the equivalent of her work saying, I'm going to invest not only giving you water, but I want to give your camel water also. Your camels, the 10 of them. So there was 10 gallons. And if they held the water that was about, this is full of water, about 2.5 gallons like this is. And you can hear me already struggling, right? And I'm not a girl. Give me a good amen. So I have to think that Rebecca had some guns. So you single ladies in here, go to the gym. Start working out, amen? Because you're going to have to carry some water. And so they would carry it on their shoulder. And so 10 gallons, 10 camels, 20 gallons each. That's conservative, 200 gallons they're going to drink. Those are some thirsty camels, right? They got to get, and they were, she was going to also give them water. 200 gallons drawn from a 5-gallon, and this is smaller, 40 trips back and forth. If I had a volunteer that was about Rebecca's age, one of our teenagers in here, maybe you would go back and pour it in the kitchen and back and forth. Avery, no, you're not going to do it for me because the way you looked at you running back and forth. Can you imagine 40 times doing that? I'm not going to embarrass her that much because her tongue would be sticking out, right? And my tongue, look at you, Pastor. You can barely hold it up with one, right? 40 trips at 3 minutes each going back to the kitchen, back and forth, filling it up. That would be about a 2-hour job assignment. Isn't that amazing? You never recognize what God will do in a moment of service. So when someone asks you for help, you should give it to it generously. You should give it to that person because you don't know what your act of service will outlive you, what will it will do. Do you all get the picture? Amen. 2 hours, here, I'm here to help you. The greatest generation that ever lived is a generation, according to the books that we've read in history and even in our own country, proves that it already lived before us. It was our fathers. It was our grandfathers. They went to war. They built the highways for us. They made housing in the suburbs. They provided that for us. I live in a home that my mother and father would have loved to lived in. Now, they lived in a nice home because my dad was a career military guy and my mom worked hard and they gave us the best. But when they would come to my house, you know what they would tell me? Son, you're so blessed. God just blessed you so much. Because they know, you know what? It's because Irma and I are standing on their shoulders, our parents, because they made a way for us. We've been blessed. How about you? You're probably much of the same way if you're about my age today. I'm not picking on any young person in this, but there's almost this entitlement mentality that we have that what's the least I can do to get blessed? What's the least I can do when the generation before us says, hey, put me to work, I'll serve and have that heart. Rebecca had that heart within her today. She saw jewelry. The chief servant saw all the camels and pulled those out when he saw her work ethic. He proposed, the young prince, Isaac didn't propose, he proposed to her. And when she saw the jewelry, of course, she said, yes. And so, young man in this room, you know, there's just something, you know, she didn't know if he was ugly. She hadn't even seen him. But there's something about having jewelry. Give me a good amen. Heaven's people, my father, John Sprinkle, they would say, this is what eternity's all about. Eternity, life is short on this earth. Make sure that you make a difference for generations to come today. Jesus and his kingdom wasn't a right side up kingdom the way we see it today. Power player, do the little as you can and get blessed the most. Just invest a little bit. Jesus was this sort of teacher. He said this. He said, when somebody strikes you on one cheek, turn the other cheek. No way I'm going to hit them back. When somebody tells you to walk a mile, no, get their backpack and walk 2 miles. Go the extra mile. Give them not only your coat, but give them your cloak also, which was much more than that. In other words, be generous with people today. 26 years ago, the man on the second row right there in the blue shirt, Howard Varial, I met him 26 years ago. Irma and I had just been installed as youth pastors at Northwest Christian Center. And I was sitting on the front row and, you know, pastor had introduced me, said, this is our new youth pastor couple. They come from San Antonio and they're going to be the youth pastors and we want to just make sure and celebrate them. And so everybody, you know, clapped and that sort of thing. And after the service, Howard was like 21, you think, Howard? And 25. Man, you looked younger back then. Huh? Can I have a little bit of fun with Howard? And so he came to me, and he got, you know, Howard, man, even now. But can you imagine Howard in his 20s? Like, it's just, you know, Howard was like let loose, man. And he came at, he was single, young, and then he came at me, and he got right in my face. I still remember it. I was sitting down, and he got right in my face, and he said, "I've always wanted to be a youth pastor. Would you show me how to be a youth pastor?" And it was my first day on the job. I didn't know what I was going to do. I was glad that they hired me. I faked it and got hired, right? We'll be a youth pastor. So the thing that is in my head is this. Honestly, this is truth. And this is how, even if you're not generous, but you have a decent attitude, God will still redeem us. And Howard, I thought this about him. I said, "Who is this guy? Why is he up all in my grill? Why is he telling me all this stuff?" And I said, I hope that you go away. You're like a weird church member that I don't want you to stick around. I want you to leave. And I was hoping I wouldn't see him, but he kept coming back. And here's what happened. Howard became my right-hand man as a youth pastor. He was single. He had time, so I abused him. I said, You take over the young people. You do it. And I remember Howard would one time the kid, he was sleeping with all our, we were all, you know, going to camp, and he was sleeping and he'd fallen asleep, because once Howard falls asleep, he falls asleep. You can't wake him up. And they were messing with him, the boys in the youth group at summer camp, and they were pouring salt in his hair. And I was watching him. God forgive me on that one. And God forgive me on the thought of, like, I wish you would go away. Because when he became a lifelong friend, a lifelong brother, and then there was this girl named Sonia Salinas, and she began to call. And by the way, Wendy, I didn't know you were going to be here, so you fit right into the story. Wendy's a friend of Irma and I's too. And so we had this young adult ministry before we came to Corpus, and we had met this great girl named Sonia. She was a school teacher. Howard was a school teacher. And so she said, you know, "Hey, can I come visit and stay and see your church?" And I said, "Yeah, we have room. Come on." And so she came, and I said, "Hey, we have a lot of young adults at our church. It's great, college and career." And I said, "It's a great group." I said, "Maybe you want to hang out with them." And so there was some young men, you know, in our group, and Sonia was single. They were single. But how many know the hungry one got it? Amen. Give me a good amen. It's a lot of, yeah. Howard just kept, man, pursuing, and look what God did because of me. Give me a good amen. You'll never know how your generosity, and I didn't even do it right, shame on me because of my attitude, but your good generosity will outlive you. You know how it's going to outlive us today? Because of them, we have a wonderful son named Nathaniel that plays the violin. Little did I know, by saying, "Man, I hope you leave the church. I hope you don't stay." Little did I know when Sonia Salinas would be in our young adult group leading our worship for our college. Little did I know that Sophia Varial would be doing the announcements and giving that word to us. And she's doing the announcements now on the media. Little did I know that David, even, that serves in our children's ministry, he worships one and serves one. See, do you see how God will bless you and bless your ministry and bless you, even whatever act that you might do? It blesses you, right, everybody? I got something for you, so you don't think this is the Howard and Sonia show. Amen. I got something even for you today. If you stick around, you'll get principles today. Rebecca had this attitude that we all need to have, and it's about earth people. You have this earth view. Get a mindset to have heaven view. And earth is in your rearview mirror. You have it all wrong if it's all about earth on this thought that you have on this plane. And there are three principles of her attitude that she had that I want you to have today. And she would tell us this: you can't be generous, number one, in this. You can't be generous and legalistic. That means tight-fisted at the same time. I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to keep score. I'm going to count. You did me right. I'm going to do you right. You scratch my back, I'll scratch. He said that, avoid that mindset. In other words, to give, I'm going to get. No, it's not about a generous heart. Always has the mentality that I'm going to give it, and it's well, I'm going to lose it. No, God's going to just bless me even more. Well, I got to give, because if it says in tithing, if I don't give, I'm going to get cursed. We have that mentality, the refrigerator is going to break, the car. No, it's not about tithe. If you have that thought, watch the 5 o'clock news, because watch the 5:30 news, the world news, because you'll get what it is to be on a cursed earth. And it's God's people aren't. Jesus died on the cross so you would be blessed and the curse would be removed today. And that's why we go above and beyond the tithe now, because we've been so blessed. God wants to bless you, not a prosperity message, but so you can be a blessing to others. It's good to have stuff, but don't let the stuff have you. It's good to have that good celebration, but the celebration should continue because you're giving it away and you're the party. Amen? Give me a good amen. Amen. In your heart, it should be. That's why I applaud Living Faith, because you have a willing spirit. You built a building when we shouldn't have built a building, when we didn't have it within us, but someone had to pay for it, and you're paying for it. Give me a good amen. Amen. Because you're giving and you're a generous people today. Amen. I don't have to do this. I get to do this. That's the heart of the people in this room today. That's the heart of the people in the children's ministry today. I don't have to do. I get to serve today. Amen. And so there's no gimmicks involved. We give to Living Faith because I got to keep my commitment. No. We love Living Faith. That's why we give to Living Faith. We give to our community today. There's no guilt in life, right, everybody? There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 9:6, the Message Bible says this on the big screen in your handout. Hey, you haven't had any fun all day. You can talk back. Why don't you do this on three? On three, would you read it together? Do you have your handout? Yeah, you can read it on the big screen too. On three, one, two, three, go. Remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. And make up your own mind on what you should give. That will protect you against the sob stories and the arm twisting. Some slick guy comes up here and makes you give because he told you that cat story that chased the dog and that cat started to cry and the dog story. And it just makes everybody cry about a cat. Even made a dog cry. And you give because of that. You don't want to give that way, right, everybody? You want to give because God delights. This is my favorite part of the service, when I can give back and worship and I can come towards the planters. The greatest privilege that we have is to be a giver and the ability to do so. I mean, I'm so thankful. The giver moves the heart of God in your time, your talent, your treasure today. Even the smallest acts of generosity make a huge difference in the economy of God. Yeah. I'm not a hero, and I wish I had some of my old CDs, my preaching CDs, because I made myself a hero in some of my earliest sermons. I would preach, and I would always say, well, I did this right and that right, and it was sickening now to think back that was the same guy that's now up here, and I hope I repent quickly if I ever fall back into that situation. And so what I'm about to tell you has been real tough this last season, and by no means, if it could be done better, I would do it better, and it's not being done right now. And so there's a little bit of transparency right now. For 6 months, my mother's been in a rehab center, a nursing home. And when I go visit her, which is often in Live Oak from where I'm at, it's tough. Because I come upon mom and she's in a wheelchair, probably with some other ladies, or sometimes she's in her room. And usually they all congregate together. And I walk up to mom at times, and a lot of the times it's like this. She's in a little bit of a state of confusion because of her age and where she's at. And she recognizes me, of course, and she starts saying, Mijo, Mijo, where have you been? And I said, Mama, I was here 2 days ago. And those questions get asked, and there's all this, at the very beginning, this heartache and calming her down and reassuring her that I love her, that God loves her. By the time that I leave, which is about 2 hours later, sometimes three, if we go for a ride, and I take her out and we have lunch, she's healed. She's not confused anymore. Amen. And all it took was a little bit of time. Rebecca's voice would be, "This only took 2 hours. But look what I got. I got jewelry. I got a prince. I got a future now. See, your hug matters today. Your time, the way you say things to somebody, your voice of encouragement, it matters. Do you understand that today? Your note that you're going to send to somebody that you'll write, it matters today. You give your life, and you should be generous about it today. God bless the dream team at Living Faith Church because they get it. They worship one and they serve one. They get it. They just, you know, thank God for being a consumer, but they say, no, I'm going to be a contributor with what I do today. The ambassador that is taking care of your car right now to making sure no one breaks into it because there's bad guys on Marbach Road, right? And I'm so thankful that they're securing our children's ministry. They're securing you. And I'm so thankful for a security team. They worship one and they serve one. I saw Sonia Verial taking care of a baby a moment ago, and she was tossing a ball with a little baby. I told Howard she's juggling kittens to keep that baby entertained, and because we have that thought, they worship one and they serve one. And Jesus said this, not in your handout, but in the Bible, Matthew 10:42 on the big screen. If anyone even gives a cup of cold water to the little ones, and they do it because he's my disciple. Are you the disciple of Jesus? Yes. Are you? You are, right? Amen. You're a follower of Christ, right? I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his. You can show me the next slide. There it is. He will certainly not lose his. That Greek word is for, I'm going to pay you when you get to heaven double. I'm going to pay you. You're going to get rewarded. God, I'm going to bless you. You're not going to, well, I'm going to lose my time. I'm going to lose when I give. There it goes. I shouldn't have done that. No, you're going to get blessed. You're going to get blessed. And there's health coming your way. And there's wealth coming your way. And there's goodness of God coming your way. Some of you are going to get a wife. Amen. Be blessed today. Right, everybody? A husband today. The second thought is this. You can't walk the second mile until you've walked the first. And that's the mindset that you have to learn. Because sometimes in our thought, I want it immediately. I don't want to wait. And I'm not picking on any generation. There's no credit, no problem. We buy now. And God is saying, I want you to be faithful first. You start now and give what you can. I might need to start small in my giving, but I'm going to give, right? Because I start now. You got to start walking today. You worship one and you serve one. Rebecca had no money. All she had were some guns. Kind of like mine. Look at these, right? Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing? No. All she had was some muscles. And that's why Jesus said in Luke 16:10 on the big screen in your handout today, whomever can be trusted with what? Can also be trusted with much. And whomever can be dishonest again with very little will also be dishonest with much. God is watching us not to be a Hawkeye over our shoulder, but he's watching you because he loves you. How are they handling my wealth? How is my son that I blessed today handling the wealth that I've given him? His time, his money, his energies. You sow and reap, and there's a great principle about what you sow, you also reap the goodness. Rebecca figured it out. If I got this 2-gallon or 3-gallon jar right now that I'm walking around with today, and God, you can use me. It's going to be a blessing to me. The smallest act will make a huge difference in the economy of God today. You can't take it with you, so send it ahead. You never seen the U-Haul following the hearse in the funeral procession. Remember that? Preacher said that, right? You can't take it with you. You can only take people with you today. There's this funny joke about a greedy husband. And he's getting older, he's a miser, and he's telling his wife, he said, I want to take all my money with me when I die. So, honey, would you do me the wish, my last wish is this, would you put all my money in the casket and so I can take it with me? She said, I agree. So he dies, the day comes, and they're having the funeral memorial service, and they're about to close the casket, and she walks up with this big box, puts it in on his chest, and they close it. And all the other people in the funeral home go, you know, that know the family, they go, you granted his last wish. That's so honorable of you. He says, I can't believe you put all the money in that casket. He said, yeah, I did. I wrote him out a check. Some of you get that at 3 a.m. Jesus said it this way on the big screen, not in your handout, Matthew 6:19. He said this, do not store for yourselves up on this earth treasures where moth and rust, what do? They destroy, where thieves can break in and steal. I'm sorry if they stole your big screen. You know, I'm really sorry. But store yourselves up treasures in heaven where moth and rust does not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. Jesus gave us the greatest inciting trading tip right there. He said, stuff on this earth doesn't last, so you should send it ahead of you. God wants you to have the stuff, but he wants you to make eternal investments, doesn't he? Amen. Everybody, do y'all receive that today? Amen. Finally, 3 is this, and you're going to write in with me. You can't wait for the feeling. It will. You know, I told this to Irma before she married me. I said, baby, it will. Your feelings will follow me. Just marry me. I had to tell her that about 5 times, right? This one counts. We're going to walk with God today. It's a life principle. I believe this one in all things really counts, because sometimes we're tempted and you got to, you know, your feelings lie to you. Never live by pressure. Live by principle today. Well, I don't feel led to do that. The only led is in your back pocket. So you don't want that. You want to be not led. You want to live by principles. Rebecca did not wait for the feeling. She says, I'm here to serve. I have water, jug, camel. I got muscles. The principle was servicehood first. She had the attitude. The feeling came later. She married the young prince later, right? In Matthew 6:21 on the big screen, it says this, for where your heart? No. Where your? Treasure. Where's your treasure? Your money. Where your money is, your heart will be also. You don't live by principle. You don't live by burden. You live by principle. Make a decision to be generous all the days of your life. God's first. God's first in my life. Prove it. Amen. 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 Well, prove it. Giving lifestyle. Be a steward. Manage what God has given you. He's given you time. He's given you energy. He's given you a tent to walk around in. Manage it well. Your body well. Manage your resources well. He's given you wealth today. Manage it well. Prove it today. Pastor Zumal, that pastor that hired me when I met Howard, after about 6 months, he called me into his office and he says, look, I'm looking at the giving records and you're on staff, you're getting a paycheck from this church, and you're tithing, but you're not doing anything else. And I said, really? He said, yeah, look. And I said, well, I kind of knew that, but I didn't want him to know that. And he says, I want you to be blessed, Mario. And he looked at me eyeball to eyeball. And he had a talk with me. He says, you give from the overflow. You give love offerings in this church. And that might sound kind of rough that a pastor did, because it did. It hurt me. I was 20-something. And I thought, you know, I went to my Holy Spirit. And I cried out. I said, it was Irma. I said, Irma, you know how he treated me? He got mad at me, or he didn't. He just talked to me like a man would, like a father would. And he said, doesn't he know that you're not working? Doesn't he know that we're living on a youth pastor's salary? Doesn't he know that we have 2 babies now? Doesn't he know that? And I had this big, and I started having this bad attitude. And I prayed through, and I stuck with it. And I began to give above and beyond our tithe. It may have not been $20. It may have been 5. But it was something. God started. I started small. I started now, but I started small. And you know what God has done in my life? Because I began to do above and beyond my tithe. Not only tithe, but you know what God has done? He's blessed me. Amen. He's blessed us. Amen. We had this curse upon our family, the Navas. There was something like this. Mom, Dad, I didn't make the end of the week. I ran out of money. There was more time than money. Can I borrow 20 from you, Mom and Dad? Can I get a little bit more from you? I need, Mom, I need a little bit more. Dad, I need a little bit more. Can you help me make this down payment? Because I need a little bit more. And I always do, we were known for that. When I began to do what my pastor instructed me to do, which is biblical, by the way, you know what happened? That curse was taken off of our lives. I never borrowed one more cent from my parents. Irma never borrowed from her parents. We began to bless our parents. We began to get to that age. Now we're blessing them back and we're helping them. And I remember they blessed us. Christmas was good. they would bless us, but we never asked for it. They would give to us. But the thought of that thing, that curse breaking off of our lives was so essential in our lives because we turned into not a borrower, but a lender now. We're going to give you this now. Amen. And you can do the same because God's not a respecter of person. Feelings will lie to you, but decisions today that you make will map out your road to success on this earth journey. I believe if we ran one more lap with Rebecca, I got one more lap to do with you, Living Faith. I'm going to tell you these final words, and the final words are these. The final words of encouragement. When you give, the impact of your generosity often, what does it do? It keeps going. Your generations will reap because of what you've done with your time, your talent, and your treasure today. There's building one that you drove past to get to this building was our sanctuary for many years. What you don't know about it is this slide, and I pull this back out of the archives to just to remind you where we came from and what that building is. And little did Gloria Martinez know when she drove by it after a season of prayer and fasting when we were at Ingram Square and we were running out of money and how are we going to pay the bill for the rent that we can have our own building. And she drove past this dilapidated day-old bread store that was all busted up and gang symbols and graffiti were all over it. And she said, that can be our church. That can be our church. And she told me about it. So I went and we made offer after offer. After the fifth offer, they took it. I said, they think that church isn't going to give up on wanting to get this building. And so that corner right there that you see hanging over the edge right there in that very corner where you see these young people right there, that corner was the end of the building that's in, but we put sheetrock in it and wood and we extended it a little bit more because the building was so small we wanted to gain. And if you walk by, you'll still see the sidewalk or the foundation where it's married to when you walk past it today. They're in the parking lot. This is the 1970s. There's this evangelist named Rick Newton, and he's carrying the cross right there. And Rick's vision was, he came from Florida Bible College, and he says, I want to reach young people for Jesus in the 1970s. And so some of y'all used to dress that way, because I've seen your Facebook post that you used to put from the 70s. Yeah, jeans like that. And look at that guy in the yellow shirt. That was in style, along with the high tube socks back then, right? And they in our parking lot, in the 1970s, the building one, the student center, what an appropriate name for it now, was used to reach young people for Jesus. Rick Newton did that. Rick came back when we were still in the building. We'd made it into a church, and he came back to visit us several years ago. He's an older man now, and he travels the world with the cross, like many evangelists do. And he says, my beginnings were here on Marbach Road. Do you see what God wanted to do in that building? And it became a tiendita, a little store. It became a Dale bread store. It became empty. All along, God wanted to redeem the store, the Dale bread store, and make it. Do you see how this thing's bigger than you? Amen. It's bigger than me. We're just walking, and we're walking in something that we don't even belong in that God's blessed us in, right? Amen. Someone already pushed through and made the hard places a little bit easier for us to walk through because they walked through it first. And so all along, this is Marbach Road when it was one laner, and Hector's Tire Shop wasn't there. It was something else, maybe a house or whatever. And they're walking down and they're marching. That one thing that they're raising up like this, when I was born again in 1977, there was this thing going on, one-way Jesus. Do y'all remember that? One-way Jesus, black light posters, amen. One-way Jesus, amen. Some of you don't even know what black light posters are. One-way Jesus. That was a big symbol back then. And here's the young people in the 1970s doing that today. Heaven is full of people and saying, I made a way for you. Would you walk worthy of it? Would you do what I invested, what I did for you today? I think Amy Simple McPherson, I'm reaping benefits. When Dr. Veal, Pastor Veal, was alive at Marbach Christian, I would visit him. I got the chance probably to meet him about 5 times. And that man was a man of God. Some of y'all are here because of his heart towards you and what he did and made a pathway for Marbach Road to be a... He wanted Marbach Road to be filled with God's goodness, not only in his church, but all over. And look what God has done. Look what God has done. Because of men like that, that we stand on the shoulders of, we can have a great church. Yeah, well, living faith is all that. No, it is. Thank God. But you know what? Other people made the way for that to happen, like Dr. Veal, like Amy Simple McPherson, like Rick Newton today, right, everybody? To God be the glory, right, everybody? Amen. We didn't make this thing happen. God's been good to us. John 4:38 says this, I sent you to gather where you have not worked. Boy, don't I know it. Amen? Amen. Others have done the hard work. Dr. Veal, Amy, Rick Newton. And you have gathered the benefit of their work. I thank Jesus for that scripture. Because that's us right now, right? When you give to the Lord today, right, everybody? In Matthew 25, the final scripture, verse 40. Why don't we read this out loud, out strong? Come on, let them hear you on the internet today. Come on, everybody, you're going to participate? On three, are you ready? One, two, three, go. I tell you the truth. Yeah, when you've hosted that small group, when you gave today, when you serve in children's ministry, when you secured the campus, you did it for the least of my brethren. There's a powerful video that I found that I want to show you about giving and what it means, because who we give to our brothers is anybody really suffering. Anybody that has a need, you give towards. Amen. Can we watch that today?
Those who give without interest, who offer themselves and expect nothing in return. Hallowed are the places of small sacrifices, where the thankless work is done.
Music just makes you good, right? Yeah. Make eternal impact today, wherever you can. If you see a brother, if you see a sister, if you see someone suffering, you're the answer to their life today. Can we go to the Lord in prayer as we conclude? Father, thank you. We're still right now because we want to make a heart decision. Right now, we bow before you. We want to live our lives as an eternal impact, not only in our eyes, but in heaven's eyes, Lord, today. So place the spirit of generosity upon us again as a people. And remind us, Lord, that life is short, but eternity is long. And so Jesus had the spirit of generosity upon us, for us today, because he loved us. And if you've never said yes to Jesus, I want you to say yes to Christ today. I always want to give you an opportunity to come to Christ today as Savior, as he can be that today. I had to say yes to Christ after a small group in 1977. I came to, it was in a small group, and then in that parking lot of that apartment complex, I came to Christ. They waited for me there, and I was far from God, and I came near that day, and Jesus changed my life. And he can do the same with yours today. You're in this room and you're far away from Jesus. You've never said yes to Christ. You need a Savior. God is so generous. He's such a giver. God has been generous to you. He's given his son to pay your debt today. If that's you today, would you lift your hand slightly, not to embarrass you, but say, that's me. I need to say yes to Christ today. If that's you, would you lift your hand high and say, that's me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to pray for you. If that's you, lift your hand. I'll note it. I see your hand, my brother. You can put it down. Someone else, just making sure. Yeah. My brother lifted his hand. I'm not going to embarrass him, but I'm going to ask you to pray the prayer out loud. And all the sinners that are saved by grace, you on the internet too, you can pray this prayer right now. Christ can come into your heart right now. Today, we pray this prayer together. All the sinners that are saved by grace, you lifted your hand, you pray it out loud, loud enough that you can hear it in your own ear. We pray it together out loud. Let's pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I'm thankful today for a Savior like you that washes away my sins. I am forgiven. I'm a child of God. I'm a new creation. Fill me with your Spirit today. Make me anew. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We give our life to the Lord Jesus. I want to remember the Ziegler family, Leonard and Linda. As you know, many of you who follow them on Facebook and hear the prayer request at Living Faith Church, they tragically lost their son-in-law this past week, just a few days ago. And we need to pray for Shannon and the children and their grandchildren, and Shannon, of course, the daughter of Linda. And we pray right now that Mark is in the embrace of Jesus, and we know that because he's a believer. Several months ago, Howard Varial, our elder, baptized him. So right here, he was baptized, and we ask God's touch upon them. They need God's strength. This is my brother. This is my sister. They need us now. Let's pray for them. Have a special prayer with me for them. We lift up the Ziegler family, Lord. We pray for them. We pray for Shannon and Linda, Lord, and Leonard, and the children, the grandbabies, Lord, that you would gather them in your arms, God, and hold them close to you. We would hold them close to us. We might not know the right words to say, Lord, but we just say right now to them, we're here for you. You're my sister. You're my brother today, and we love you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Touch them again as they walk through a valley. Give them the strength that they need. In the name of Jesus, we pray. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Saturday, there will be a time that the family will come back to the from the funeral home. They'll come back and be in this building. And Linda really said, you know what, they got the food covered. The food is covered with what they'll do, but really they need some guns. They need to set up, they need to tear down and that sort of thing. I don't think that should be upon the family that's grieving. And so if you can help in that manner, there might be maybe a little bit of food that's needed. Would you see our administrator, Sherry? She is a wonderful servant. She'll direct you in the way that you can go. So we can serve them on Saturday morning, I believe, as they come. And we want to just go to Linda and bless her and not take anything from her. So would you let Sherry know about how you can help on that Saturday morning? Is that okay with everybody? Yes? Amen? For those that receive Christ or need a refresher course, again, I just remind you lovingly, maybe it's time that you go back to growing in faith. You haven't been in a while, go back, get that refresher course, or go for the first time. I want you to attend a small group also this week. How about our small group leaders? If you're here, would you come up on the platform real quick? You're not shy, most of you guys. If you're a small group leader, would you come up? You got about 1 minute to tell them about your small group, and to tell them about how they can be part this week. Come on up. You got 1 minute to do this. 1 minute, amen. 1 minute's good. How about our band coming up also? That guys, come on up, and here's a microphone. You're going to need to come on the platform. Is that cool? Because the mic doesn't extend that. You're going to need to join me on the platform. On the platform. This is the platform. That's the altar, isn't it? Yeah, amen. So who's going to go first? Tracy, there you go. You'll use that. And just tell them about your small group. Tell them what time you meet, and then the information's right out there. Go ahead.
My small group is the power of a praying parent. Even if you're a parent, grandparent, a neighbor, it's just about praying for our children. We meet on Thursday at my house between 6 to 8.
Good. How about Laura, Miss Laura?
We have a in-depth Bible study, different topics each week. Monday night in the Student Center, 6 o'clock, and then 7 o'clock we have a second where we do a small group of, we go over the sermon notes and have a little bit more fellowship and stuff. And then after that,
hallelujah. Like you said, Sister Lori, you know, some of you didn't know that on Mondays we have a prayer group. So we incorporated the Bible study. So if you don't have a place to go, you know, the houses, whatever, you can still come here at the church. Amen. And we are blessed to have Sister Lori, who I believe that God has really helped her to understand the Bible. But please come for prayer. We need to pray.
Amen.
At 8 o'clock. If you can. You don't have to stay for prayer, but we need to pray.
Thank you, Ms. Comfort.
The group that we have is on Wednesday evenings from 7 to 9, and we meet at the OP Schnabel Park. It's off of Bandera, and we've entitled our group Fit for the Kingdom, and we do a quick devotion and prayer beforehand, and then we go and we walk the trails. We even bring our dogs, if you want to walk your dog too, even the dogs can get blessed. You can bring your bike if you want, I think we'll do that next time. But it's just a time to fellowship and a time to not only be spiritually fit, but even physically fit.
And then we're also going to start carrying water to the camels, back and forth, twice.
That's it. Amen. Give them a big hand. They're people of the Lord. Amen. Bless them. Is that good? You're finished?
Sorry.
Oh, no.
I forgot.
The disc golf, right?
My husband is not here, Michael right. Montgomery. He's leading the golf disc. Disc golf. on Saturdays, you know. So if you can come, I think we start at 7. It's about an hour. But it's my first time, but I'm enjoying it. So come and exercise.
Amen. And I got to go once because of schedule, but at 8 a.m. Mystic Park, Mike leads that, and you'll have a great, great time. You might say, well, it's Frisbee, but Mike has like 200 discs that he'll let you borrow. You just show up, and God will bless you there. I'll try to attend this week. No, well, Saturday's going to be busy, I think. We'll see what happens with our schedule. Finally, on this one, two more things. Use our invite cards. They're located right outside where Reuben is right there. Right outside that door, there's a beautiful table that we've set up with invite cards that you can take with you. Don't take 20 of them. Take about two with you. Invite people this week. Tell them that God loves them, that God has a plan for them. Be generous today with your voice, a voice of encouragement. Invite someone back to church. Amen. That's what we do at Living Faith Church. We reach outside the four walls, and I want you to do that. Finally today, we're going to worship God in our giving. Our worship's going to rise, and we give. If you're visiting for the first time, we don't want you to give. We always say this is a gift back to you because the sons and daughters, the brothers and sisters, the family has made a way that we kept the lights on for you, so to speak. We paid for the chairs, amen, that you might be our guest. So we're going to take care of this house for you today. If you want to be part of the family, we can tell you about that in the future. Amen? It's like joining the mafia. Is that okay? No, no, it's not. But the final thought is this. Just as you consider the giving, there's ways to do that on the screen. You can read those. Today, my wife came back to me this morning, and she told me a moment ago, she said, you know, one of our young people, and I won't mention the name because just how it is around here, everybody gets treated unfair. because I don't mention your names and so forth. And she said one of our young people got their job, and they got their first paycheck, and they told my wife, I couldn't wait to come back and tithe. And see, that young person gets it. How many know that young person is probably going to be very successful? Yeah, because they already have it in their heart. They've been taught. They've seen their parents probably. They've seen this church, and they're coming. They gave this morning because of how they their job and so forth. So this isn't to manipulate you. It's just to praise God. Amen. We have a great generation coming behind us. If the Lord tarries, amen, they're going to do greater things than we've even done. Amen. I believe that because of that attitude. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Father, bless the tithe that's in our hand, Lord, maybe on our phone device that we're doing through Pushpay. And, Lord, we're generous people today, and we thank you for the house of God. It's come back today. Thank you, God. It's come back that we're generous people. We were challenged, Lord, and this is a father-son talk that I'm having with my father. He knew what we went through. Some of y'all didn't. It's okay. But we were doing the right thing when we became givers and we were generous, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We've never lacked, and we thank you for that, Lord. You've been good to us as a people, and we're with grateful hearts we come and worship you with our gift today. In Jesus' name, God bless you as you give. Amen. We're standing, and we're blessed today. Amen.
Death could not hold you.
The victor before you
silenced the boast of sin and grave.
The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again.
And you have no right.
You guys want to sing that one more time? Me too. Another. There ain't a truer word spoken in this line.
And death could not hold you.
The victor before you.
You silenced the boast of sin and grave.
The heaven. The praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. And you have no rival, and you have no equal, now and forever. What a powerful name it is, and nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is.
Go in the love of the Lord.